The Salt Lake City School Board approves a tax hike. Kennecott Utah Copper announces they are done with layoffs for now. And the Salt Lake County Council okays a proposal for a mutual commitment registry. You're listening to the KUER News Pod for Wednesday, June 5th. I'm Brian Grimmett. Salt Lake City residents will see an increase in their property taxes next year to help pay for Salt Lake City schools. The Salt Lake City School Board approved the hike on Tuesday, saying the additional revenues will fill a gap in the statewide education budget lawmakers passed this year. KUER's Whitney Evans reports.
Despite a 2% increase in per-pupil spending by the state for the 2013-2014 school year, members of the Salt Lake City School Board say it's not enough to pay the bills. Amanda Thorderson was a member of the Salt Lake City School Board from 2009 to 2013. She points out that in that time, the board cut $25 million from the budget.
As a parent, I'm tired of my child being on the receiving end of spending cuts that directly affect her ability to excel in school.
Thorderson says to put it in perspective, her family is willing to give up one pizza night a year to make sure Salt Lake City schools are funded. Board members say the district needs an additional $3.6 million to cover existing programs, plus required Utah State retirement and cost of living increases. Property taxpayers will shell out between $12 and $48 additional dollars annually, or slightly more depending on the value of their home. Democratic State Representative and Salt Lake City resident Joel Briscoe also spoke in favor of the tax increase. He says the state legislature is not doing its job.
I could multiply all these statistics and we could talk about the havoc that many other decisions made by the legislature have rendered on school district budgets. But I'm a taxpayer who wants all the kids in my neighborhood and in this city to go to quality public schools.
State School Board member Michael Clara was the only member of the board to vote no on the tax increase. He says he doesn't understand why there is a gap in the budget.
See, and the people in my neighborhood are asking me, how did we get a shortfall when the legislature gave us more money than they did in recent history?
District officials say the 2% increase in per-pupil spending only covered a portion of the increased retirement costs. Clara proposed an amendment that would give teachers a 3% salary increase. That way, he said he would know where the additional revenue would be spent. But that motion failed. A truth in taxation hearing is tentatively scheduled for August 6th. Whitney Evans, KUER News.
Workers at Rio Tinto's Kennecott Utah Copper are breathing a sigh of relief after mine officials announced Tuesday there would not be another big layoff. A recent landslide at the Bingham Canyon mine has forced the company to drastically reduce production and lay off some administrative staff. KUER's Andrea Smartin has more.
Kennecott officials said in a statement that they were able to avoid layoffs in part because of the employees who opted for an early retirement option. More than 130 hourly workers accepted the buyout by the June 1st deadline, about half of those who were eligible. Wayne Holland, a representative for the Steelworkers Union, says the announcement is a huge relief.
Well, I tell you, after the last few months and what we thought the potential might be, the news couldn't be better. We foresaw possibly hundreds of people being laid off. And I think a lot of these young guys that are not now being laid off are very grateful to those guys that took the early pensions so that they could stay there working. And the news couldn't have been better.
Kennecott officials said in a statement that cost-cutting measures, along with the previously announced layoff of about 100 salaried workers, has eliminated the need for any further cuts to its workforce at this time. They did say they would be eliminating some unspecified number of jobs, but that the company would offer alternative roles to those workers. Wayne Holland says 34 union workers are expected to be laid off from their work at the concentrator and smelter, but they will have the opportunity to fill positions at the mine and tailings area, openings left by those who took early retirement. Andrea Smartin, KUER News.
The Salt Lake County Council voted Tuesday night to okay a proposal that allows unmarried couples to document their relationships in order to share employee health benefits and to use county services. Eligible committed relationships could include same-sex couples or other adults who share a residence and rely on each other as dependents. County Council Member Arlen Bradshaw submitted the proposal.
You've got a partisan council that's actually a Republican majority council that just passed this ordinance on an 8-to-1 vote. And I think that's significant to note that, you know, this county government is saying we recognize all families, we recognize different types of relationships, and we want to be supportive of all of those relationships.
Council Chair Steve DeBry was the only no vote. He called the registry a slippery slope toward legalizing gay marriage. Salt Lake City passed its mutual commitment registry in 2008. Murray City Council Member Jim Brass announced yesterday that he is running for mayor. Incumbent Dan Snar disclosed recently that he won't run for re-election. KUER's Brian Grimmett reports.
Jim Brass has been on the Murray City Council for 10 years. Before that, he served on the Planning and Zoning Commission. Democratic State Representative Carol Speckman-Moss was at Brass's announcement. She says she's giving her support to Brass because of his experience.
He has worked with budgets. He's done planning and zoning issues. He knows this city well, and he's a very hardworking man. I know that.
Brass says if elected mayor, his main goal will be to strike a balance between building a good commercial tax base through continued development and protecting Murray's quiet neighborhoods.
We're looking at different areas within the city that we feel are ripe for redevelopment, and we want to target those areas so that developers will go there instead of looking at the edges of neighborhoods.
So far, Ted Iyer and Buck Swanee are the only other people that have declared their candidacy for mayor in Murray. The deadline to declare is Friday, June 7th. Brian Grimmett, KUER News.
Officials and alumni from the University of Utah's S.J. Quinney College of Law celebrated the groundbreaking of their new building on the southwest corner of the campus yesterday. The dignitaries who spoke on the occasion included University President David Pershing and Hiram Chodosh, the dean of the law school. Chodosh says when they started this centennial project 7 years ago, many close friends questioned whether he was being realistic about its completion at an economically challenging time.
And this is not just any law building. This is a law center that captures the highest wave of innovation in legal education at a time when the tide seems to have reached its lowest ebb.
President Pershing announced a major donation to the college by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in the name of the late James E. Faust. The law library will be named after the late general authority who graduated from the school in 1948. Jonathan Ruga is a graduate and a College Board of Trustees member. He says the LDS Church's commitment is notable.
Well, I think that exemplifies how important a law school is to the community. And the church, of course, recognizes that, and we're grateful for their contributions.
The new building is designed to be LEED Platinum certified for the highest energy efficiency. It uses only water that's available on the grounds. Construction of the 155,000-square-foot building begins June 17th. It's expected to be finished for the 2015 school year.
Utah's attorney general is making the state's argument that federal officers and rangers have no right to enforce driving and other state laws. The legislature passed a law that prohibits federal officers from trying to enforce state or local laws anywhere in Utah. If they try, they could be arrested and prosecuted. The federal government sued, and a judge slapped an injunction on the law the day it was to take effect, May 13th. The state filed its 100-page memorandum to the court this week. The U.S. attorney has until June 14th to respond. A deer was killed yesterday in a bizarre incident during morning rush hour traffic in Cottonwood Heights. Police say the doe dashed into traffic and jumped onto a moving motorcycle. The 19-year-old driver was knocked onto the pavement while the bike kept going for about 300 yards. The animal died from its injuries. The driver was wearing protective gear. He had some road rash, but nothing more serious. And finally, an independent panel of scientists plans to release its review today of the management of wild horses on public lands. The 14-member research committee has been looking at the issues for the past 2 years, including Mustang roundups, the impact of wild horses on rangelands, and controlling the fertility of the horses. The BLM spends millions each year removing wild horses from public land and maintaining them at sanctuaries in Oklahoma and elsewhere. Advocates for wild horses say the animals could achieve a natural balance on the range if the government would just leave them alone. And that is your KUER News Pod for Wednesday, June 5th. the latest news and updates from around the state, visit us online at KUER.org or follow us on Twitter at KUER News. Until next time, I'm Brian Grimmett.